Join me in a study of the 46th Psalm. I think you probably know the first verse of Psalm 46, if you're acquainted with the Psalms at all. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's been a great comfort to the Lord's people over the years. Psalm 46 is another one of the Psalms for the sons of Korah. Korah was a rebel against the Lord, you'll remember, and his sons were spared because they took sides against their rebel father, and God allowed them to become the singers in the temple. This is a very wonderful section here from Psalms 42 to 49. They're all Korah Psalms. This particular one is a psalm upon Alamoth, which means the maiden's voices. We don't know exactly why this was written in this tone, except that it is an exulting psalm and a tender psalm, a psalm of real rest. If you feel disturbed, let me suggest you turn to the 46th Psalm. The conflict of the preceding psalms ended with his meditation on Christ in Psalm 45, and now in Psalm 46, although there's still trouble, the believer is at peace. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Refuge is mentioned again in the 7th verse and in the last verse, the 11th. Refuge is a place to go to hide from trouble. And the presence of the Lord is the only place for Christians. Now, this refuge is only for those who see a need for it. Some of you who are listening to me just now may never have received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you see no need for a refuge. You don't feel any need. You don't realize that you're not fit to meet God, and that you can't even meet the troubles of life without the Lord's help. Therefore will we not fear. Therefore goes back to the first verse, because God is our refuge. One of our former presidents said we were all entitled to the four freedoms, including freedom from fear. But of course, he couldn't tell us, and no other philosopher of earth can tell us how we can have freedom from fear. But God has given us freedom from fear in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those in verses 2 and 3, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, God is still our refuge and we will not fear. Regardless of circumstances, we are happy and content in the Lord's faithful care. That's why he ends this with a Selah. The Selah in the Psalms means a place to stop and think it over. Then he says that there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. I don't know that there was any river that went by the earthly city of God, the city of Jerusalem, but I do know that in the 22nd Psalm in verse 1, we're told that there is a river that flows through the heavenly Jerusalem, and I'm sure that it speaks of the river of blessing that comes from God. We have drawn water and drunk waters out of the river of salvation. The river of blessing has flown through my life and through the life of everyone who puts his trust in God. Because God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Now, he doesn't say God is a fence around her, but God is in the midst of her. The law tried to put a fence around us. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to be the attraction that holds us to himself. We find the Lord Jesus in the midst of the lawyers when he was 12 years of age. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." If you want the Lord's presence, then you ought to gather together with other believers in his name, for there he promised to be in the midst. He was in the midst on Calvary. A thief on either side, and the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst. And I hope that he has a central position in your life and in your thoughts. And then we see him in the book of the Revelation in the midst of the throne. So the Lord Jesus is the one who has the right to the middle place, to the central place, and he ought to occupy our thoughts and our hearts. Now we see him in his role as a judge in verse 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The majesty of the Lord as he speaks as a judge. How thankful I am that I will never hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ as my judge. The Lord Jesus in the 5th chapter of the book of John is said to have two privileges that belong only to God, the right to give life and the right to judge. I've accepted him as the life giver, have you? And if so, we will never meet him as our judge. But if you reject the eternal life that he has come to give, then you most certainly will have to meet him as your judge in that coming day. And it'll be an awful thing to see that hand lifted up, turning you away when he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels," and see that in the middle of that hand is the mark of Calvary. He could be your Savior, and he wants to be. In the 7th verse, we have his marvelous names. The 7th and the 11th verses are alike. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. The Lord of hosts is his name in majesty and power. The God of Jacob is his name in grace and mercy. The great Lord of hosts has power to do everything. But the thing that comforts me is that he is the God of Jacob. Jacob is mentioned more often in the Bible in connection with the Lord than any other person, and yet he was probably one of the most unworthy in all of Scripture. Because God was the God of Jacob, he's the God of every sinner, and he's the God of this sinner. And I tell you, I'm glad I know him, the God of Jacob, as my refuge. Now his name is given to us, his titles in verse 7, but his works are presented in verses 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. First he allows the wars to come, then he makes the wars to cease. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariots in the fire. Oh, you've seen a great deal of unrest in this poor world, and it has all come because God has permitted man to do as he pleases, and man has made a perfect mess of things. But one of these days the Lord is going to take over again. One of these days our Savior is coming back to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there will be peace. Now don't look for it before then. No human efforts are ever going to bring peace upon this earth, but the Lord Jesus will bring it because he is the Prince of Peace. He's coming back, and it may be much sooner than any of us think. Now he calms us by this wonderful word in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. This doesn't simply mean to be quiet. It doesn't simply mean to quit talking, although it does include that. The word is more specifically relax. I can't relax when things are wrong. Yes, you can. But I can't relax when things are in the state they're in. Yes, you can. The Lord wouldn't ask us to do so if we couldn't. The only way you and I can relax is when we remember that he is God. That's what this verse says. Psalm 46:10. Learn it by heart. Be still and know that I am God. Relax. I'm in control of things. That's what the Lord is saying to us. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord is going to straighten everything out in his own good time. It may not be today, it may not be this week, but God is in control. And one of these days, he's going to set everything in the universe to rights. Be still and know that I am God. Is your life filled with turmoil? Have you just, faced so many things you don't feel like you can face another? Well, why don't you turn away from it and just remember that God is still on the throne. God is still God. Your little world may crumble, but God sits over the whole thing. He's in perfect control. The Lord of hosts is with us. Now, every person can't say this. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still going your own selfish way, if you're still rejecting the Lord Jesus, you can't say that the Lord of hosts is with you. There's a very wonderful verse in the 8th of Romans that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now that if is not an if for believers. That's an if for the whole world. If God be for us, we who are believers know that God is for us, so there's no if in our case. In fact, three times in that 8th chapter of Romans, he tells us that God is for us. God the Father is for us. God the Son is for us. God the Holy Spirit is for us, and he tells us in particular what they're doing for us. God is for us. God is with us when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And since he is with us, and since he is our refuge, we can relax, we can be still, and know that he is God. That's why he ends this lovely psalm with another Selah. There's one at the end of verse 3, one at the end of verse 7, one at the end of verse 11. A place to stop and think about this. Everything is in the hand of our God. Do trust him. And if you have trusted him, trust him more. Our Father, we thank thee for thy dear Son, our Savior. We thank thee for eternal life through him. We thank thee for the privilege of trusting thee about everything in our lives. And we pray for all who have listened to thy word just now that they may trust and not be afraid. In our Savior's name, amen.